And I'm Harry Durgan. This workshop is Living and Discipling Among the Lost. Can everyone hear me okay? When I move around, if I move over here, can you still hear me? Because I don't do well standing up in one place. So I move around a lot. Well, I wanted to start off with a couple stories and just to illustrate where people are at. When you meet someone, not everyone is ready to hear the bridge, right? I went to the Air Force Academy and in 1970, and I was a sophomore, and this one of my classmates comes into my room. Do you have a handout? You're set, okay. And his name is Bob. He comes in my room and would just pummel me with questions. And many times, usually, I didn't know the answer to his question. I say, just a minute. I go down the hall. A guy named Ray, who was mentoring me, I would say, Ray, Bob's asking this now. Oh, okay, good. I run back, and that's kind of... And the guy, Bob, came to Christ after, oh, I don't know, a few weeks like that. So there's one guy. That's Bob. Another guy named Warren, another one of my classmates, our classmate, Warren, this guy... I just love this guy. He played rugby. I played rugby, but he was never really interested. He had no interest in God. Well, I went back to the academy for our 20th reunion after graduation. 1974, I graduated. This is 1994. I haven't seen Warren for 20 years. Never heard of him. And I'm at the big meeting place, all the whole class is there. And I see Warren from his back. I go, oh, there's Warren. I walk up to him. I slap him on the back. And I said, and I'm waiting for Harry, you know, how the blanky blank are you, old blanky blank? And he turns around and he goes, Harry, thank you. 20 years. First word out of his mouth is thank you. So I said, for what? He says, well, I became a Christian 5 years after graduation. And by this time, his wife walks up, Francie. I never met her before. And she goes, oh, you're Harry Durgan? Oh, it's so good to meet you. You know, we have ROTC cadets come over to our house. We study the Bible. And some of them come to Christ. I'm thinking, this is boring. He was more navigator than I was. I said, wow, what happened? Okay, one other story before we get into the workshop. This is a freebie. This stuff doesn't count as part of the workshop. So my first, I finished pilot training after I graduated. My first operational base, I'm hooked up with this guy named Don. And Don was an instructor pilot, so I'm flying the right seat. He's flying the left seat, so we got to do a lot of cool stuff. But Don and I became the best of friends. We played racquetball. In fact, he taught me how to play racquetball. But we'd always end up talking about Christ. Sometime, you know, every time we're together. And we were together a lot. So, but it always came down to, the last thing it came down to was, his dream was to, when he got out of the Air Force, which he was looking to do as soon as he could, he was going to go fly with the airlines. And so his dream job was flying with the airlines. And I was trying to get through to him. This is, Don, God didn't make us like that. Of course, he doesn't believe in God. But God didn't make us like that. When we finally get the thing we've always wanted, we just come up empty-handed. It's like sand coming through our fingers. And, yeah. He finally gets out of the Air Force. And a couple years later, I lose track of him for a while. A couple years later, I get this letter from Don. He lives down in, or he was living at that point down in Phoenix, flying for Continental Airlines. He writes this, Dear Harry, you know, I got my dream job. He was actually flying first pilot. He wasn't captain yet, but he was up in the front. He said, I got my dream job, and, you know, I'm here flying for Continental. And you were right. I'm just as empty as I've always been. And it's just been an illusion. I'm just reading this letter. I was going, oh. He says, and so I remember what we used to talk about. And I've surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. And everything is, it just made the world of difference. And I just wanted to tell you and say thank you. So there's three different guys at different places. Let's start out with, you got your hand out in front of you. God's mission statement. Let's start out with, in Genesis 1, can someone read 27 and 28 of chapter 1? Maybe someone knows it.
Thank you. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth.
Thank you, Stephen. So, this theme goes through the whole Bible, but it starts in chapter 1. God has two things for us. Firstly, he makes the whole creation and he gives it to Adam, right? But he gives him two commands. Be fruitful, have lots of kids. What kind of kids? Kids who bear our image. And fill the earth. Kind of simple. At least in understanding. So, fill the earth with descendants who bear my image. Okay. Now don't turn. I'm just going to read it to you. 9:1. Now we have the flood, right? And this is what God says to Noah. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. So God just kind of went reset. Because we were doing really good with filling the earth. It was the bearing God's image part that we didn't get, right? Now, just to show how dead set God is on this idea of filling the earth with his kids, in 11:4, I'll just read to you, or you can follow along if you're there. Very interesting. They said, come, this is about the Tower of Babel, remember? Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. Now, when you have in perspective what God wants, and you see what these guys are doing when they're building the Tower of Babel, he said they were saying this, we're going to build a name for ourselves. Does that sound like bearing God's image? It's bearing my image. Bearing a name for myself. And we build this tower so we won't have to be scattered, dispersed throughout the earth. So the only two things God gave us to do, they were doing the opposite. And so we have the Spanish and Portuguese and everything else we speak here. Okay. Let's jump ahead to the New Testament. Colossians 1. This is a great little book, Colossians, if you haven't read through that or studied it. You're going to love this book, if I can find it. Okay, is anyone in Colossians 1? Can you read 26 and 27, someone in Colossians? You got it?
I made it.
Go ahead.
The mystery hidden for the ages.
Okay, so what's been hidden throughout the ages has finally been revealed, crystal clear clarity, incarnated in flesh, is Christ. And it's not just Christ. It is Christ in you all, in us. And in the same chapter, in verse 15, he's the image of the invisible God. Christ is the image of the invisible God. So Christ in us, who is the image of the invisible God, we see how we become image bearers, right? Isn't that cool? So this is finally being revealed to us Gentiles and the Jews. That's exciting. So God's plan from the very beginning has been this. And finally it is clear. And another passage that is informative is in 2 Corinthians, 5:17. Would someone read 17 and 18? 2 Corinthians, go ahead. Thank you, Tom.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation.
Okay. Maybe you can say God's mission statement in one in a phrase like that. It's a ministry of reconciliation. Reconciling us back to himself. That's what God's about. You know, the Old Testament is about come to and live apart. You know what I'm talking about from the Old Testament? Come to Israel and live apart. Don't have anything to do with and your bloodlines, all this stuff is a pure be apart. The New Testament is just the opposite. It's go to and live among. Because look what Jesus did. He didn't say come to heaven. He came to us, go to and live among. He lived among us. Okay. And speaking of Jesus, what was his last command? In Matthew 28, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. And I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So he's going with us to the end of the earth to bear his image in all places. You know, the navigators in over 110 countries around the world. Did you know that? I got to a few of them in Latin America. So, and the whole purpose of this workshop is the world is in your backyard, right? I mean, I'm talking to Stephen here, and he's been more places than me. And I just got back from Latin America. Right here in Wichita Falls, but you're not Wichita Falls, you're San Antonio. Okay. Go to Acts 1:8. A lot of us know this by memory too. Does somebody have Acts 1:8 for me to read? Go ahead. Thank you.
But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.
Cool. So, and the context here is Jesus is just about to ascend. And the disciples in 1:7 said, is this the time you're going to restore the kingdom? What kingdom are they thinking? Get rid of these crazy Romans, right? And Jesus doesn't even, he realizes these guys aren't even thinking kingdom of God. They're thinking kingdom of Israel, of which he's not very interested in. But he says, wait, and when you receive power, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, into the ends of the earth. Here we are, Wichita Falls. This is the end of the earth. Right?
From there it is, yeah.
That's right. Well, from where I drove, it was too. Now, interesting, again, remember, nothing's changed from Genesis 1, right? So Jesus is saying, now when you receive power to be my image bearers, because without the Holy Spirit, we can't be image bearers, at least of his image, right? Now go to 8:1. So it's a little dyslexic here, from 1:8 to 8:1. But this is such a cool verse. And Saul approved of his execution. Okay, they just martyred Stephen. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. So, what was happening? Remember in Acts 1 and 2, and like there's 5,000 added to the church, and then there's 3,000 added to the church in Jerusalem. So they're having this huge, huge navigator rally going. But they were staying there in Jerusalem. And God wants the whole earth filled, right? And so the great persecution arose. Now, isn't that coincidental? And they're spread out to Judea and Samaria. And from there, you know, Paul gets up to Antioch, up north. And it begins. But it just took, you know, a kickoff for that. Exactly. God just doesn't get this out of his system. I mean, this is what he's about, to fill the earth. All right. Let's go to my mission statement. If you could, in your handouts, there's three questions there. If you could, just turn your chairs around so that you're like in groups of three or four. And read together Colossians 4, 2 through 6. All right? Answer these questions and I'll give you about 10 minutes. Hey, can we finish in about 1 minute? Okay, guys, maybe we can come back together again. Who are the two distinct groups that you found there?
Insiders and the outsiders.
Okay.
Believers and non-believers.
All right. I should clarify this a little better. The first few verses are, it's kind of like the first person. So who is Paul talking about? And who are the us?
Oh, us, the believers. The
people of
Colossae,
the church of Colossae, right?
Oh. He's talking about himself and, you know, like Timothy and the people who are...
He's talking about the apostles, the team that he's with. Pray for us that God will open doors for us. You, however, now we're in verse, where is that, 5? What group is this? Who he's speaking to, and that's the Colossians at Colossae, the saints. So we have. Sorry. So what's the next question? What is the calling of these two groups? How is it different?
Support and going.
Okay. Paul and his team are on the go.
The calling, though, is essentially the same.
Okay.
Paul and his group is traveling around and they're talking to non-believers. The people of Colossae live among non-believers and they're supposed to talk to them.
All right. So calling is very similar. Okay? Let's just look at the word opportunity or doors. Just think about that for a second. What is Paul talking about when he says opportunities for his team, and how is it different for opportunities for the local people? What's the difference, do you think?
Not much difference.
Okay.
Opportunities be better for the local.
Why?
Right.
Right. So you walk into a, you walk, I come down here, for instance, I go, go Broncos. I'm going to get lynched. Now, a guy from Denver doesn't know what lynch means. Anyway, so there is a opportunities for one guy are different than another. So Paul is saying, pray for opportunities that God will open up doors for us, doors for the word. Well, in the second part, he doesn't say pray for opportunities. He says, take them, use them. They're all, you're up to your armpits in opportunities. Because like you just said, I've got the inside scoop. I don't have to think, uh-oh, I can't say Broncos down here. It's a dirty word. It's a dirty word up there, too, sometimes.
But that's not a dirty word down here.
Redskins. Okay, okay, there you go. All right, better example. And see, I wouldn't know that because I'm not from here. So I'm an outsider in that sense. Friends.
Friends.
Yeah, neighbors, right. And if did, even if they weren't friends, oh, yeah, I just live right down here, right down the road. Exactly. And so Paul and his team come through, and they kind of like establish beachheads with a lot of heavy casualty fighting. And now these guys can infiltrate, you know. And they meanwhile, they move on for another, they're the airborne one of first. Guys that drop in someplace else. Okay, I told you more than I know on that one. All right. I especially like this third question, because this brings it down to where I am. How do I fulfill my calling? Okay, I'm a local guy. Okay? How do I fulfill that? Just throw out from these verses or any other ideas that come to mind. What is it? This is my calling. How do I fulfill it? What are some of the things I can do or be?
Become very interested in a person and become friends. And in that context, you can learn how to communicate with him by knowing his desires. A close friend with Christ from you because he knows you.
Yeah.
Can't be a counterfeit with a close friend.
Nice.
And so
there's a trust relationship going on there. Yeah, exactly. Okay, excellent. Anything else? Other things?
The phrase I keyed in on was with wisdom.
Hmm.
In verse 5. Verse 6, it gives several examples of what is encompassed by being by behaving with wisdom.
Where do we get that?
Where do we get wisdom?
Yeah.
We get it from the Holy Spirit.
From the Holy Spirit, yeah. Prayer, listening. What about a word that comes to mind is attractiveness? What hits you on that?
They see Christ in your daily activities.
Okay. Talk about daily activities, Greg.
So I'm at work, and there might be some compromising situations at work, and I don't allow my integrity to be pretty compromised. And I take a stand for what is right, what is right, what is truthful.
You're right. There's a lot of the sameness going on. Right. Exactly right.
One of the things that I didn't realize till people started pointing it out to me was an attitude of cheerfulness
other people were upset and stressed about things.
Stephen, I'm going to read a verse for you, for us, but this is, you nailed it. I mean, this is one other example of attractiveness. And you can guess where this verse is. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. That's Philippians 2:14 and 15. But it's interesting that I had first memorized this verse about that you may be blameless and innocent children above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom appear as lights in the world. I didn't know that was prefaced with do all things without grumbling or disputing in my version or questioning. When you get to work, what are people talking about? Oh, you know what Obama did? Or do you know what? I mean, whatever it is, does anything positive come out? It's like you're watching the news, and all of a sudden there's this positive story. You know, someone saves someone neighbor's dog or something. You kind of go, huh, that's kind of a breath of fresh air in the midst of, you know, murders and all this stuff. So here we are at work, like Stephen is saying, that's the first thing I hear all the time. I don't believe it. Effing stuff is on and on and on and on. And we stand out just by having a mouth of positive, sweet things to say. Does that stand out? Whoa. But it's interesting. This verse is so key for me in my thinking about we're lights in the world. But it's do all things without grumbling or questioning so that you may prove yourselves to be. That's pretty incredible. That's something that God helped me to keep my mouth shut when I have those kinds of thoughts and open it when I need to be saying other things, positive things.
Putting the application in the middle of verse 6, seasoned as it were with salt.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what a blessing it is to hear a seasoned word.
And it's delicious. You put salt and stuff, it brings the flavor right up, right out. You're right.
Your constant diet is grumbling, 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 and all of a sudden this ray of hope of, wow, how good his thoughts were. They were positive and they tasted so good.
Yeah, and I think after a while people want to come back for more of that.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. I was flying, I was a co-pilot in a tanker. It's a 707 military version. And our crew, from all the crews on the base, was selected to be in this bomb competition. So the morning of, it's like, you know, it's O Dark 30, however that movie goes. And we show up to our airplane. And the wing commander, the base commander, every other commander is out there. And they actually have a red carpet to our airplane, which I was afraid to step on. I said, what on earth? They want to get that thing dirty. And we climb up into our aircraft. We take off. I bet 4 hours, maybe three and a half hours into our flight, we're going out west from New Hampshire. That's where we're meeting up with our bombers. And we're about, so up until now, it's been pretty routine, but everyone's getting a little bit nervous because everything has got to be just right. Everyone's officer effectiveness report is going to be, you know, how they did in their bomb competition. I mean, this is a big feather in the cap for the wing commander, the base, everybody. And it's a huge, huge deal. It's not only nationwide. England was involved in it. So we're representing our base, and we're 3.5 hours into our mission, coming on to, and we were literally 3 minutes out of our first encounter with the bombers coming in that we're going to give fuel to. And all of a sudden, lights out. Emergency generators come on, kick on, and we have our basic flying instruments. But navigation and all that stuff, it's dark. We're in a cave. My aircraft commander is an atheist. That's Steve. My navigator is the porn rep for the squadron. The first thing he does, he breaks his pencil and throws it. We didn't have GPSs back then. We had other stuff. So, dating myself. But anyway, work with me. And then, of course, our boom operator, he's an alcoholic. I mean, functional, of course. And we're called a stand-of-al crew, where we evaluate other crews, and they're flying. Anyway, so here we are. We are the best crew from our base. Everyone is just waiting, you know, how we do on our bombing thing. And now, lights out. So all we have is what we had just before lights went out, and so we're on the right course. If the winds don't change, everything's probably going to be okay, maybe. But everything is just see the pants now. And like I said, we're about 3 minutes out of our entry point. After about 30 seconds, when we finally realized, we know more, the four of us, about the airplane than any other four people in the universe. Okay? And nothing, we don't know what to do. I mean, we do all this stuff and nothing comes back. It's black, except for our few little instruments. And it's still dark out. My AC, the aircraft commander, says, well, co-pilot. Well, co, everybody's heard that you've got connections with the man upstairs. This would be a good time to call in the chips. And I said, we have a hot mic between us. We all we can hear each other breathe, you know. And I said, I'm already talking to him. And here I am. I'm in my seat on the right side. And I'm going, God, if you would give us back our instruments, this would be something that these my pagan buddies would understand. This would be like Jonah. When you throw Jonah off and all of a sudden all the sailors bow down and worship. I said, God, this would be something that they would hear this. And these guys, you know they need Christ. An atheist porn rep and an alcoholic. I mean, it's just, and then me. So I'm like Daniel in the lion's den, I guess. And so I'm praying. And 30 seconds out of our entry point, everything comes back. And everyone goes, oh, beat, blankety blank. And the navigator's going, I need another pencil. And we did fine during the bomb comp. But, I mean, we don't need to pray for opportunities. We need to pray that we're ready for them, right? They're all around us. Maybe not so dramatic like that. But like Greg was saying, just the integrity. In your conversation seasoned with salt, people come back for that because that's just so attractive. One more verse and then we'll move on. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 9:19. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. And verse 22, the second part. I have become all things to all people that by all means I might save some. So this is my mission statement. And you can write that in many different ways. But what is it that, and someone was saying that we just need to get into other people's lives, ask questions, share stories. Okay, let's talk about this insider outsider. Yeah, go ahead.
Another part of Colossians, there in verse 6 of chapter 4, is talking about that very last phrase there. Know how you ought to answer.
know how you ought to answer to each one.
1 Peter 2:15. Always be ready.
3:15, right.
Be given the best for the full continuum. And that's the equipping part. We've got to be ready.
Yeah.
And we got to be, you know, we got to pray for those resources so that we can be ready.
Exactly.
And that takes effort.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
I run across a lot of people who claim that they're Christians, and they are so illiterate about God's Word.
Right.
I can't say they can be effective at it, and claim that they're doing perfectly good at all. Claiming that they're a Christian.
And so verses like, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, come to mind that we need mentors in our lives to accompany us to begin to understand and know how to capitalize on situations. Okay, and we're going to keep talking about this. Thank you very much, Greg. That's a very good point. There's a book Jim Peterson, Mike Shamey wrote, Insider. Has anybody read that, seen that before? We don't have the NavPress table here, but that would be an excellent, excellent resource to check that book out. Insider by Insider. That's it. Maybe it's The Insider by Jim Peterson, Mike Shamey, co-authored. Mike Shamey's from New Zealand, and you probably know Jim Peterson. Written a lot of other books. Let me give you a story. I'm in Brazil. And I just gotten there from Venezuela. And so I'm trying to learn Portuguese kind of like as I go. Because I know Spanish, which is a good basis for it, but it's quite different. Anyway, I'm asking some of the Christian guys there in Brazil if anybody wants to go with me on campus to meet some people. I thought, we'll try Ultimate Frisbee as a medium. And, you know, in the States, you walk on campus and you throw the Frisbee. It never touches the ground because immediately there's a team forming and you grab it. Well, anyway, so one guy, Leandro, decided he'd like to do this with me. So the two of us go on campus. And so we're throwing the Frisbee back and forth. They can't even say Frisbee. They say disco. That's okay. It still flies, whatever you call it. But no one was really interested in throwing this stupid little plastic thing. So I'm watching, and there's a bunch of guys playing volleyball. I looked at Leandro. I said, do you play volleyball? And we're talking Portuguese. He said, mas ou menos, more or less. So we go over there, and we're on the sidelines, and we're like this. And finally, someone, no one asked us ever. I finally said, is this a workout for a team, or can anybody play? They said, oh, yeah, come on and play. They thought we just were exercising our neck, I guess. And see, Leandro is a new Christian. He was actually getting his master's in agriculture. And I've come from, I've lived in Costa Rica, and I've lived in Colombia, and I've lived in Venezuela. Now I'm down in Brazil. So I am this veteran missionary. And so his big thing he wants, I want to see this guy in action. He wants to see me in action. So we finally jump into the volleyball court. And I remember I'm in front of the net. I'm up front. And the guy right across the other side of the net. So we're playing now. And Brazil, if you didn't know, Brazil is awesome worldwide in volleyball. So they're playing good volleyball. And I can hold my own. But the guy on the other side of the net goes, so Harry, what are you doing here? See, no one, you're an outsider when someone says, what are you doing here? I just jumped in the game with Leandro, and no one asked Leandro what he's doing there. So you're getting the idea of outsider-insider. Leandro's an insider. I am an outsider. And so the first thing I said, well, I'm here playing volleyball. And the guy's going, huh, gringo. Chistoso. And so then the guy next to him, also along the net, but on the other side, goes, yeah, so what are you doing here in Brazil? Because they all want to know, we're playing, okay? These guys just don't get the ball back and forth. It's dig, set, spike, dig, set, spike. And they're playing good volleyball. And I said, well, I'm here, I'm taking a course in Portuguese. And the guy goes, como? What? I said, Portuguese, it's a language they speak here in Brazil. This guy is a riot. And, of course, I didn't understand what... See, remember, I'm just picking up Portuguese as I go, and my Spanish is, it's mostly Spanish. And so they get everything I got to say, because they understand Spanish. But Portuguese has a lot more vowels and stuff that... It's screwed up like English. Anyway, Spanish is pure anyway. So finally, this comes back to the first guy again. He says, no, really, so what are you doing here? I mean, we're playing volleyball. I can't even. And so finally I said, could we talk about this after the game? We played for 2 hours and we're playing on solid concrete. Is that redundant? Concrete's kind of solid anyway. So, but my 40-year-old knees aren't feeling so hot. Now my 60-year-old knees. So we finally go over. We're all laying down. We got Cokes or whatever. We're laying down the grass. And the Brazilian sun's just setting. And it's like 8 o'clock, 8:30. So it's in the summer. And one of the guys says, okay, Harry. You know, this is it. He says, so what are you doing in Brazil? And there's Leandro. He's about six yards over the side. And he's just... And these are the guys that, you know, we're going to try to reach out to, right? And so I go, well, you know, when I was in the Air Force, I was a pilot, and that's as far as I got. They go, you were a pilot? And who did you fly for in the United States? I said, no, I flew for Russia. And I was joking, of course. But he said, and I said, well, they said, well, what airplane did you fly? I said, well, did you see the movie Top Gun? See, back then, Top Gun was kind of recent. You don't even know what I'm talking about when I say Top Gun. So I flew one of the airplanes in that movie. Did? What was that like? We spent a half an hour just talking about formation, you know, and all this stuff. And then everyone forgot what I was supposed to be doing in Brazil, and everybody went home. And the whole time, Leandro, they didn't know Leandro's name. I'm like a celebrity. I'm just like, who the heck are you? So an insider doesn't have to explain his presence. An insider like you guys all brought up. These are you know all the private jokes, the stories, and you don't root for the Redskins. You know that stuff. Now, I'm gonna stop that story. I'm gonna go into kind of an insider story. Now I'm in the same country. I live in the same place. There was a rec center, call it club, right next to our house, and we became members of this club. They had tennis, workout facility. And I'm in there lifting weights, and a woman comes up to me, and I know her by face. A woman comes up to me and says, Harry, she knew my name. Everyone knows my name, I guess. And she says, would you play tennis with my son? I said, sure. And so she, thank you. And she's lifting her weights, I'm lifting my weights. So I go back to her, I said, who's your son? She says, you know him. He said, Rodrigo. He wasn't in there that day, but I saw him the next day. Anyway, Rodrigo plays tennis. She saw that I always have a tennis bag. But why would she come ask me to play tennis with her son? And we don't even really know each other that much. I would say because I'm a member in this club. She sees in a bag I'm playing tennis. And all the, and this is just an opportunity. I wasn't praying, God, would you open a door for me so that I can meet somebody somehow? You don't need to pray that. People come to you. The opportunities look for you. You don't have to look for them. So the outsider, if you go back to the volleyball thing, I'm going on campus. I'm going to play Ultimate Frisbee. Doesn't work. It's like the Redskins. And I got to find something. God, where? Oh, they're playing volleyball. So I go that direction. And Leandro just follows me like a puppy. And so it just gives you, so even though we might be outsiders, we can get insider-ish if we make a few adjustments. And then people are comfortable enough to say, I don't even know you, but would you play tennis with my son? Okay. Now let's talk about salesman farmer. I think you can see where this is going already. Let's have a timeline here. And it's from wall to wall. That's a timeline. Right here is the cross. Let's call it salvation. And right here, you meet a friend. This is Bob, my classmate that came to my room with question after question. He's this far from Christ. I can share the bridge illustration with him. There's a lot of things I can do with him. He goes, oh, I've been waiting to hear this. And boom, he comes to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And then he continues on in his maturity. But Warren is right here. And I find out real quickly that, you know, he's just not interested in this. And so I share the bridge with him. It's like me trying to make an 80-yard field goal. And I come short every time. Not only that, he gets tired of field goals, right? I could offend him. I could push him further away. And you've seen that happen in your own... I've done that. So the salesman technique might work here when Christ is within reach and you and he sees Jesus. But over there, there needs to be a few first downs made and movement towards the gospel. And you all know people like that, right? Here, go ahead.
What the farmer would call cultivate.
There you go. So the, yeah, I mean, he doesn't expect a harvest today. My goodness. You don't yank that thing out. You haven't even put it in the ground yet.
Help him with selecting a variety.
Okay. Exactly. A variety of what?
A variety of wheat, whether it's okay. Duster or OK Bullet. I'm showing you you like the farm. Sorry.
I like that.
But you get on his level. I'm already on his level. He and I understand the same thing. You, as an outsider, then you ask him, what is a variety? What's the difference in them? And then as he's telling you, then you get in his world.
Right. Exactly. Very good. I was talking to one of my buddies in Denver, and we were actually in a Bible study, and I referred a couple times to Daniel from the Old Testament. Well, he thinks I'm talking about a friend of mine. So he says, well, you know, who's Daniel? I said, well, you know, the Old Testament Daniel. He goes, well, I said, well, Daniel in the lion's den. So is this guy like right there? No, he's not even on the football field yet. He's still outside the stadium looking for a parking spot. So we got to figure out. And so the high pressure salesman, that doesn't do anything. But so let's be careful with that. And that again is being wise. One thing I like to use is the film industry. When the movie Passion of Christ came out in Brazil, oh, there's nobody who didn't see that. And so I took the guy who's playing tennis with now, and his buddy invited him also, who's a physical trainer, buddies from kindergarten. Only Julio couldn't go, or Rodrigo did. We both watched the movie. We sat in my driveway for a while talking about the movie. And so the next day we're at the gym. And I'm back in the corner. I'm lifting weights. I'm getting strong. Rodrigo and Julio are talking about, because Julio goes, well, how was the movie? I'm so sorry I couldn't make it. And so Rodrigo's telling about the movie. It was great this, great that. And finally, Julio comes over to me, who hadn't seen it yet. He says, well, you haven't said anything. What did you think about the movie? I said, Julio, I'm waiting for the sequel. And so Julio looks at Rodrigo. Rodrigo goes, He goes, so Julio says, well, what sequel? I says, well, you don't think that you can tell a story about Jesus and he sits up in the tomb and that's the end of the story. Could you? He goes, well, what else is there? He says, I said, there's a whole book of Acts. He looks back at Rodrigo. Rodrigo goes, Now, Rodrigo and I, we're studying the Bible now, but Julio isn't. So he says, so Julio turns back and says, well, what happens in the book of Acts? Well, in Portuguese, you can say no like this. You don't have to say it. You just go, that means no. So I went, because I can speak Portuguese now. And I said, well, you're going to need to read the Bible with me and Rodrigo. And finally, Rodrigo goes, I mean, there's so much stuff out there that we can use. And these are the opportunities just going by us every day. Okay, I'm going to try to finish this up because I'm very Latin. I'm sorry. I don't watch the time very well. I'm studying the Bible with a friend, Ernesto, in Colombia. After about 6 months, he's an engineer. He was a CEO of an engineering firm. After about 6 months, he said, before we start, he says, Harry, I'm an atheist, and I know you read the Bible with your friends. I would like you to read the Bible with me. I'd like to see what you're into. And our first connection was through airplanes. He did these remote control airplanes. So he said, I want to start in the beginning. He's an engineer. I want to start in the beginning. So I said, okay. We'll go to John. In the beginning was the Word. We started in the book of John. After about 6 months, he goes, Harry, can I ask you a personal question? I'm thinking, that's exactly what I want you to ask me, is personal questions. If I don't come to believe the way you do about this Jesus, what's the question? What's he going to ask? Will we still be friends? What's this guy that needs an 80-yard field goal want? He doesn't have a friend. He's never talked this deep. He's never talked beyond the Redskins or the Cowboys. And I said, Ernesto, pase lo que pase, whatever happens, we will be friends. 3 years later, he's leading a couple Bible studies. He's a Christian now and stuff. And I walked up to him. I said, Ernesto, you know, if these guys don't come to believe in Christ the way you do, will you still be their friends? The advance of the gospel moves at the speed of friendship.
Amen.
All right, that's it. Now, I've got some application questions down there that obviously you can do in your free time somewhere. Now you have to do an evaluation. But when you think about these applications, just go down there, and it's probably something you've already done, but just write the names down. Just writing the names down helps. And then you can start praying for those people. Don't so much just pray for opportunities, but pray that you will respond to the opportunities that are just there, that maybe you just not have your antenna up for. Think about someone who can walk with you in that. Maybe they won't be with you in that location, but they would be with you in prayer. Are there any questions or comments that we have a few seconds left that you were just burning to go?
I have a question or a suggestion. At work, I'm working in an area where I'm by myself a lot, but an area where other people come into it. So one of the things I've tried to learn to do is to, Second Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing, everything give thanks, and try to let people know that, you know, when they walk in, they're going to hear me sing about some song at some church or something like that. And this helps me to have a positive attitude in a very negative attitude.
Yeah, excellent, excellent.
Let people know, I mean, you're giving a witness without, they can turn around and walk off, but they know that God's
there you go.
There, there you go. And they have an opportunity to ask questions.
Thank you. Thanks, Clifford.
Yeah. I started doing it several years ago. In fact, there's people at work or in the community have come up to me and, Lord, would you pray for my son? He got last night.
Yes.
And I used to say, yes, I will. And then 3 days later, I remembered I hadn't. So now I say, let's step right over here. We'll pray for him.
Excellent.
And that way they know you really did it.
Yeah. I even do that on the phone.
Yep.
Could we just don't let it pass?
Yeah.
And even an atheist, man, they are, thank you. I mean, wow. Great, great example.
For people that you just have a, I don't know, just basically a generic, like a speaker relationship with, like, I'll give an example, like where I'm at, like the soup kitchen. So, you know, they come in, they come to a church, you get a free meal, so they understand that this is kind of the environment they're walking into. How do you start that? Like, what are some effective techniques you kind of start that conversation with people, like, to actually segue it to, like, hey, this isn't confrontational, it's because I love you. You know, like, I've gotten to know
people. Yeah.
I just don't know how to get to that conversation.
Yeah. The old seconds.
Yeah. Maybe the seconds a lot. I don't.
Well, yeah, I didn't hear it real clearly because I'm half deaf. But did you say you were asking about how to transition into
That's it.
Just a general, like, it's a pretty surface relationship right now. Like, I kind of know what they're at with, like, their job, you know, or difficulty with housing or something like that.
Evangelism, explosion, fire, family interests, religious background, exploratory questions?
No.
You know, every time I go to the place to work out of weights or whatever, you know, just in my general witnessing, that fire has been real helpful to me. You know, we always try to, you got to make some connection with the person. And so family and interests helps you do that. You know, where are you from, blah, 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 like that. You know, you have a family, da, 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 da. And interests, you know, what do you like to do? Do you play chess or checkers or out on the street, you play cards with your buddies on the street, when you're, you know, or whatever. It's a street ministry type thing. And then religious background. When you were growing up back in Tahoka, did your parents ever go to church at all, anything like that? Gonna kind of ease into it, you know, way back yonder, you know, did you ever do that? And then, well, what about yourself? Did you ever get interested with your parents? You go with your parents, were they pretty interested in spiritual things? Kind of ease into it, you know, and then family fire, family interest, religious background, that's religious background, right? So you transition by asking about their church background, maybe this is what's up work for me. And then family interest, religious background, and exploratory questions. And there are two or three of them. What are they? You guys know evangelism explosion? You guys remember those? What are they? I forgot now. What are those? Yeah. Anyway, have you ever come to a place in your life where you know for certain that you have eternal life, and if you die tonight, you go to heaven?
basically, to make it simple, you believe in heaven? Do you think there's a heaven? Or what do you think about heaven? Or would you like to go to heaven? Or do you think something like that? And then suppose you're standing, the second one is allegedly, suppose you're standing before God and he asks you, why should I let you into my heaven? What do you think you'd say? So look up Evangelical Explosion on the internet. And is that still around?
I'm not from this country. I'm not from this country.
Florida, a guy just died. He was real, real big. That's a big, that used to be, everybody did Evangelism Explosion, but 20 years ago, 18 years ago. Anyway, check it out. Those are good. Fire, family, interest, religious background, exploratory questions.
Greg, thank you very much. Greg?
One of the things we got to realize, guys, our society today is not what it was 50 years ago. You could talk about some biblical terms, just like Harry was trying to talk some biblical terms, and he was getting nothing. We are now living in a society of Greeks. Study Acts 17 when Paul visited the spoken Epicureans and the Stoics on Mars Hill, where the Areopagus. We are living in a society of Greeks. And the terms that we use now, the biblical terms that you and I are all familiar with, was just like what Harry experienced, going, no comprende, gringo. And you've got to approach these folks with what you're talking about. And all this stuff about, you know,
I agree with you.
Evangelism, fine, but they don't, unless you define the terms, and give them where they where they're up to the same point you are as far as what you're going to express. They're not going to understand a single word you say.
You know, and Greg, I appreciate both you guys.
Yeah, agree with you.
Yeah. I would say, John 5:19 says, the Son of Man can do nothing of his own, but only that which he sees his Father in heaven doing. Okay. So we are walking with God, whether you're in the soup kitchen or flying your jet, and we're asking all the time, I'm asking all the time, God, what are you doing right now? Where are you with this guy? I'm at Woody's, and Don comes in. Now, this is not a guy I'm superficial with. I know this guy, but he says this. These guys are all way out there. He goes, I've been to 3 funerals in the last 2 weeks. If I hear one more time that our dearly departed beloved is safe in the arms of Jesus, I'm going to puke. And I go, So I said to myself, to God, I said, well, God, do you want me to respond to that? Or what are you doing right now? And we happen to be carpooling, so he's driving me home. And so I go, okay, here it is. I'm going to throw it out there. I said, Don, you know, when you were talking about the funeral thing and everyone in the arms of Jesus, he goes, yeah. I don't know where he's coming from. Actually, he goes to a Mormon church. But he only goes to the Mormon church because they have a Boy Scout program for his kids. I mean, this is our world. So I said, so this is where I'm going. You know, the thing about Jesus, I really like his stories. And he slams his steering wheel like this. He drives a Sequoia, one of those big guys, and he goes, ding. I'm going, oh, I've just blown it. He goes, I love the stories of Jesus. And I said to myself, really? And so I said, well, you know, one of the stories I like. And so I just went through the John 4, the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well. But the whole thing is, after you study John a few times, you know the story so easily. So he's going, yeah. And we're sitting in my driveway. And I finally said, I'm kind of like, okay, I'm going to do it again. I said, Don, I was wondering, I wonder if you ever wanted to get lunch, near your workplace. And I knew where he worked and stuff. And we could just, there's a whole slew of stories of Jesus. We could just start looking at some of them. He goes, you know what? My wife would like to do that too. I said, well, so would mine. A Bible study started. Wow. So, I mean, and it was just like each time, I don't know what if I'm going to say something wrong or what. So I just listen to God. God, anyway, so I think to combine those two, be prepared, be equipped, be ready, be praying, be listening to God. Where are you? What are you doing right now? Where is He? And some of the wildest people are happy to look at the Bible for the first time. They're sick to death of Christianity. Anti this, anti that, anti this. What is Christianity for? Who knows? So let's show them that part. Just love on our friends. Go ahead.
The key to your word is love.
Right.
Yeah.
If we're unwilling to love a person, but we only count them as a number of salvation, we've missed the point.
We've missed the point.
And I struggle with loving my fellow man, and I'm convicted that is the key to
anything. I am convicted too. I'm with you. Posse loci posse. Whatever happens, I'm your friend. Yes.
I thought that your statement, advance of the gospel, move at the speed of friendship, is so important because in this day and time, because of the knowledge of the regular populace
right.
of what's going on, without the friendship, you can't get to first base.
Exactly.
And that's why I felt like the farmer thing was so good, because you've got to cultivate, you've got to prep the soil, plant the seed, you've got to fertilize, you've got the water, you've got to clean out the weeds.
You've got to wait for the rain.
You
know, wait for the rain.
Yeah, wait for the rain. And then you might not get to harvest, but somebody will.
There you go. Very good. Very good. We're all touching. Did you want to say...
Oh, yeah. Well, John kind of took my words from me, but...
he does that.
There's a lot of... You can have all the methodologies for witnessing, evangelizing, any sort of number of step programs, but it all comes down to they'll know we're Christians by our love.
You bet. You bet.
I'm just listening to Chuck Swindoll this last week, and he says you got to meet them where they're at.
Very good, very good.
Got to meet them where they're at.
Yeah.
And you just got to, that's where they're at, and start from there.
Because if you meet them where they're not, you're just talking to yourself, right? Okay, all right. Make sure it's face-to-face.
Just a verse on that love part, Philippians 1:9, is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment.
Philippians 1:9.
Great, great. Okay, I'm going to pray first because everyone's going to be mad at me pretty soon. I know we're late. But the next thing is, don't we have... Well, that's not until 10:50. Coffee break. That's what I was trying to say. Coffee break. Father, Abba, just that we can call you Daddy, Lord, shows this whole friendship thing is so key. And that you sent your son, like it says in Eugene Peterson's translation, the word was made flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood, that you moved into the door down the street so I could see you, so I could grow up with you, I could, you know. God, thank you for coming to our lives that way, through other men or women, mothers or whatever, and talking to us where we're at. And thank you for this ministry of reconciliation that you have called us to. It's your mission statement. It's become our mission statement. Because Christ, you have put Christ in us. And finally we have the power and the motivation to do all that is on your heart. So Father, give us... I just love these questions and these... things that people have contributed, and it's just so exciting to see that you are at work in us and those around us. So give us the eyes to see the opportunities that are all around us. We're up to our armpits in opportunities. And so help us to, like John just said and others, that it's the loving on that covers a multitude of sins, our sins, covers our offensiveness sometimes, just because people will see the love And so help us to communicate that through our fingertips. So we pray all these things in your powerful Son's name. Amen. Thank you.